This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hey, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Thank you for joining us. We're glad to be with you today on this overcast Monday morning. I had to look out the window. It's like, how overcast is it?
It's been raining, but thankfully it's warm. We've had lots of warm weather. Praise the Lord.
Boy, isn't it funny how the summer, spring and summer and fall just energize you. You know what I mean? Like it's, but the winter, at least for me, it locks me down. So I feel like I'm being reborn in a wonderful sort of way. I love it.
Yep. I can't do the winter. Y'all know that. Cannot do the winter. So
me either.
Very excited. We'll be at the pool soon.
Oh yeah. Are you getting your pool ready to be able to?
Yes. Awesome. And I'm sure we'll get a pass somewhere as well because summer and poolside is the way to be.
I'm telling you to be near the water but the beach is obviously better than a pool, but
yeah.
I love going to Florida and getting like a seaside hotel where you have the ability to go to a pool and then also to enjoy the ocean and digging your toes in the sand and the seagulls and the waves.
Becoming one with the sand. That's what I say.
Yeah.
People
oh my
are
gosh.
Like, ew, I like the beach, but I don't like the sand. And I'm like, weirdos. I'm literally rubbing the sand on my legs and making it like a sand scrub. Like me and the sand are becoming one. I love the sand.
Oh man. I do too. I like the sand. I don't like when it gets into certain parts of my body.
Wait.
You know? But like in my underwears, that I don't like. But yeah, other than that, I just really dig the sand. I don't care if it's all over my hands, my arms, my legs, whatever. Don't care if it's in my hair. I mean, I like the beach. I like the beach. Yeah. I could spend all day on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We have one of those pop-up. Well, right. Lots of sunscreen. But we have one of those pop-up shields where you can sit in it. It's like a little dome with the front open to where we'll just face it towards the water. And then, you know, you're shaded. And it's perfect. And it's like, go out for a little bit, do a little walking, do whatever, come back, lay down on the inside and just kind of take a little snooze or whatever, and then go back out. And my husband likes to fish in the ocean too. So he'll be wading out up to his waist.
Getting fishing. Sharks.
Oh, don't say that. Never had that happen. Thank God.
I've seen lots of people right there by get little baby sharks, like by the pier or whatever.
Oh,
So, but if they're just baby sharks, it's okay.
As long as Dan.
It won't eat, though. It's fine.
I don't want it to eat my husband. But anyway, that's nice for us. And we have certain beaches we really like, and they're different. And, you know, we really love going to Gulf Shores in Alabama and Daytona, Florida. And, just all the things.
Cruising.
Oh, man.
Cruising.
Okay, now we on that happy, wonderful, beautiful note, we will segue into.
Wait a minute. Has anyone emailed Jen yet and told
they
her?
They have not.
Oh my gosh. Not. Friends. Jen will not plan a vacation if you don't tell her. I can't be the only one telling her all the time. Because listen to this. Here's an honest question to Jen. Jen,
yes.
Have you planned a vacation yet?
I have not.
My efforts have failed, friends, all the time. I tell her, plan a vacation.
But in all honesty, I just recently got vacation time. So and I got a lot of vacation time. I'm taking a couple days next week, but we don't have anything planned. But as far as like a full week,
Okay, friends.
Nope.
Tell her, say, Your friend Tiffany sounds like she knows how to vacation. You probably could ask her. She has some strength. They're not the same strengths as yours, Jen, but she could probably help plan a vacation for you.
You're making me blush.
So anyway, not to put Jen on the hot seat, but
Oh no, not at all.
it does kind of go along with our topic today.
Oh my
And our
gosh, does
topic, yes,
it though?
at least the part of nothing to defend and nothing to prove.
Okay, there you go. See, that's where I'm living right now with this whole vacation thing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. She's been doing holding on to that for years.
Well, it's going to be an interesting conversation though, I think today. And it's one of my struggles as far as one of these types. So we're talking about judgment.
Judgments. So
Oof.
Jen wrote down some things as I was verbally, we'll call it verbally processing. It was kind of like verbally spewing out things, and Jen wrote some things down. But
I did.
what different types of judgments did you come up with when I was speaking?
I was thinking about that we have self-judgments, right? We have
And give some quick examples of self-judgment. I know
self-judgment.
it's pretty easy, but
And I live here a lot of the time, or I had lived here, not as much lately. So self-judgment is I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I must be stupid. I'm weak. I can never do anything right, those types of things. Used to kind of live there myself personally.
Yeah, some people would call that core beliefs, which we've talked about earlier in many podcasts. So self-judgment's good. What else did you?
Judgment of others, right? And that would be like, oh, he's full of pride. Oh, look at him. He's arrogant. Or that, driving in traffic. Oh, he's such an idiot. Or why did he do that? He must have hated the person and he did that. Or I don't know. You're the judge and the jury on other people for all kinds of things.
Amen.
And
Amen.
that is not good. And then so then the other one, which I think is more applicable to what you were talking about with your phrase, and where I have lived as well, we've both lived in this, is judgment from others and people's pronunciations over you, and where you, if you have a boundary or a fence around that to let that in or not. And you had a beautiful phrase that you said you live by. So that's how I feel like there are these three different types of judgments. But as far as
That's
judgment from others,
yes. So I wanted to real quick say, number one, that is as hard as it is to imagine, God is supposed to be the only judge, you know,
amen.
God. So when we are making these judgments on ourselves, on others, we are playing the role of the Messiah. That's what I call putting our Messiah breeches on. And
Ooh.
listen, folks, whether you think that you are a really good Christian and putting on a sweet face and hiding it well, people feel your judgments.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you don't have a lot of people coming up and telling you things, or they don't feel comfortable talking to you, that might be a good opportunity to look at how maybe you are communicating verbally or not verbally to someone else. Are you safe to talk to? You
That would be the
know?
judgment of others.
Yes. And I will say that judgment is probably the number one relationship killer, right along with
Oh, yeah.
expectations.
Man. Man.
So, yeah. So, hitting number three real quick and going, or Jen's judgment from others. I heard a line one time, and it was just on like a Facebook Live. And, you know, God, you literally uses everything. So, we were praying, and we're just so humble that God even allows us to open our mouths and communicate with you all. But this woman just said the simplest thing, but for some reason, it was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment as I was working on healing from being a pleaser. And she just said, I live by this nothing to defend, and nothing to prove. And that, as a pleaser at the moment, seemed so hard to me because I was constantly trying to prove how I was so amazing to please everyone else. Which, so much so that I was doing it for others more than I ever was for God. I was definitely placing others before God because I just needed everyone to like me. If someone didn't like me, that was really strange to me. And it would hurt me deeply and upset me deeply. So having this nothing to defend, nothing to prove, really just gave it to God and allowed him to change other people's hearts if that is what needed to happen, and gave me the freedom just to walk in who I am. And there was a really, really long season as I was doing that. People were not used to that, and my friends were falling off like leaves on a tree in fall. They were just falling away, and it was a really lonely time for me. But it allowed me to become who I was, or who God intended me to be. And I didn't have to worry about manipulating the situation anymore. And now I'm free to be me. And if you like me, that's amazing. But if you don't, that's okay too, because you have free will. Like, God gave us all free will. So why shouldn't I give you free will?
Right. You know what
but
I
that
find?
Was a hard one.
I find it funny that as pleasers, we think everyone has to like us. And if anyone doesn't like us, that somehow we're broken. It's funny how we internalize that, right? At least I did. If someone did not like me, that means I would have to like win them to me to prove to them that I'm a worthy, likable person. And it was an ugly place. Oh my goodness. Because that falls into that. There's nothing to prove. There's nothing to defend. Like, I am who I am, and not everyone is going to like me. But that's hard for a pleaser to even make that admission.
Right.
Not everyone is going to like me.
Right.
Really? Because the pleaser in me is like, well, of course, I'm a likable person. At least I think I'm likable. But if someone comes to me and doesn't like me, that must mean something's wrong with me, or I don't know.
Which is really, sitting back and reflecting on it for many years, it's really like, I'll use these words, but it's not these words, but just like a slap in the face to our creator. Because our creator was so purposeful in how he created us and who he made us and designed us to be. And so when we're manipulating the situation and being something else other than who we are and who he designed us to be, it's really just like, it's pleasing man, not him, right? Like, we don't have to do anything for God to love us. He chased us down. He left the 99 for us. He loves us. And no matter what we do, he will always love us. All we have to do is be. And so when we're not even being and being who God created us to be, it's like, thank God for your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. And it's really new every day. But really, that's our requirement, is just being, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when we can't honor our creator and his creation, and we're his creation, it's sad. I'm sure it's, you know, it saddens him. So that's where things kind of turned around for me, when I just started honoring the creator and his creation and stopped the self-judgment and the self-rejection of who I really was, because that's really what we were fighting against the whole time, right? Was our identity. Because we're like, God, you must have messed up with me.
Like, right. Why can't I not be more stoic? You know, my big one was, I'm too emotional. Like, I heard that so many times growing up. I'm too emotional, therefore being in touch with my emotions makes me a broken person, and how can I be more tough? And I mean, as a for instance, I had a there was a relative in my life who was very stoic and had zero emotion, and as a child had a hard time relating to me because I was so emotional. And they, as an adult, like we totally are cool. We were totally cool. And then on my Facebook one time, they said to me that they loved me, which I didn't hear a whole lot. And so my response was, oh my gosh, I'm in tears. Thank you for that. And their response was, don't be in tears. Be stronger. Pull it together. Like, don't cry. And I'm like, and then a friend of mine who I just adore jumped in there and is like, there's nothing wrong with her. She can cry if she wants to. Like, that was a beautiful moment. There's nothing wrong with, you know, whatever. So, so for a long time, I was not okay with it. And I've said this a million times. They're probably tired of hearing this, but that was for me, one of my big lifetime struggles of, and me being in touch with my emotions is super okay. Super okay. It doesn't make me weak.
No.
And
not at all.
And if I'm weak in something, that means God's going to be even stronger. So yeah, I'm even if it is a weakness, I'm totally okay with it. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's one of those things that, you know, as you have matured as a human being and as a person, you have learned not to react out of those emotions, because
yeah.
It's not wrong having emotions.
It's the action.
Wrong thing, right? You know, and we all, trust me, especially any moms or parents listening out there, we all react in the moment sometimes.
I'm sure everybody so, does. You lose your stuff.
Right. And that's just growing and maturing. And when those emotions hit, man, they are hard. It's hard because everything in you wants to respond to that. And you can't. And you can't sometimes. So you have to step back and have the emotion, of course, have the emotion, but just process it through with God. So
and like you said, what you were talking about, knowing how to process your emotions, it's called emotional intelligence. It's a skill. And I have learned that. I've went through classes on that. Just like, your feelings are not wrong. I don't care what it is. Your feelings are not wrong. It is totally the actions and how you react rather than respond that can totally get you in trouble, can totally take you to a sinful place, right? And so then it's just learning that, hey, my emotion is really okay. If I get mad at somebody, I get mad at somebody, but that does not give me the right to be abusive, to say hateful things, to be so reactionary. I tear people down that I love. Like, there's, and believe me, I've done it plenty of times. I've done it to Tiffany, folks. I have had moments where I've done that. And then I've had to come back. I know. Well, I had to come back and say, you know, I'm really sorry. That was just, I was just reacting to something and not responding and not stopping. There've been times I still do it, like, where I'll have to back up and say, okay, now what is really going on here? I'm having this emotion, which indicates something else is going on.
Red light, red light.
What is it about? Right. So that's emotional intelligence, just learning to do that. And I've gotten so much better at it.
Yeah, because typically, really, it's something inside of us anyhow, right? Like, it literally all comes back to the first thing you said, the judgment we made about ourselves. And that's really what just happened. If Jen got upset about some situation with us, maybe I didn't actually do something. I'm just throwing this out here. This isn't,
Well, and that it has happened. There have been times where you haven't done anything and I've just gotten.
But still, I'm just saying, like, maybe I hadn't actually done something. It was just something it hit inside of Jen, a judgment she made about herself, or vice versa. Like, I will share that what I've been struggling with that people are hitting a lot of lately. And God is just, you know, how God just pulls something up and shows us, like, oh, here's where we are now. This is where we're working now. And a judgment that I made, and really, this is so new, folks, like this weekend new. But the judgment I made was, I'm responsible. And that sounds cute, right? Like I'm a responsible person. No, it means I'm responsible for everything.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, so
Ooh.
when you're trying to heal from some control things, that's really hard to feel like that every person in the room or in your circle or in your life you're responsible for. And as God has been peeling back the layers of this, and you'll find this true, I'm sure, if you dig into some of your own stuff, it goes back as early as my childhood, as early as I can remember. Just if me and my siblings did something wrong, I took the responsibility for it. I'm responsible. So I was the scapegoat and I was responsible. Always, always, which is so, and so now my kids, when they have emotions and they're upset, I feel like I'm responsible for them, even if I didn't do anything wrong. And so what happens to me, and these are great because Jen was talking about these red light kind of indicators, something going off inside of you, I start feeling pain, right? Like if my kid's upset, of course, we're upset because our kid's upset, but mine is something different. I feel anxiety and tension inside my body because I feel like I'm responsible for that.
Ooh.
But really, I'm not. They're just having their own emotion. I didn't do anything wrong with that, but I'm feeling it. So that was a judgment I made as a little tiny kid. And here I am, 42 years old, still suffering the consequences of that judgment. So God and I have been processing that through, and thank God I'm about to, with my women's study group, read again for the zillionth time, How to Stop the Pain. And so I'll plug that book again, Dr. James Richard, How to Stop the Pain. But it really focuses on judgments and gives lots of good biblical information that you can kind of just go with the word in. So this is new, and I have a feeling we got a little work to do, the Lord and I, and a lot of time to spend together. But that's a judgment. And so those are the red lights you can be looking for, because typically it's not about anyone else. It's crazy. Obviously, sometimes it's about someone else. Someone comes up and slaps you in the face. That's pretty obvious. But if someone is just having an emotion around you and you're feeling lots of anxiety and attention and feel like you're about to explode, it's probably about a judgment that you made. And if I were to guess it, it probably even happened when you were a child very long ago. So now you're
Amen.
taking those thoughts captive, taking them to the Lord, because, and it takes a while, years that I have been doing this. So it's, me and God have some things to process, but that's where I'm at right now. That's why
That
it's so
just
fresh.
it just reminds me of over the weekend for me. I heard someone giving a talk and I just completely shut down. Like I quit listening to them. Like I just did. I just cause in my head I'm thinking all these things like you're super prideful. I just can't listen to you, and then I shut down. So then later, as I'm talking to my husband about it, I just said, yeah, you know what? They're just full of pride. And I can't deal with them. Da 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 da. And I was just, rambling that off. And I was a little what's the word? I was a little tightly wound about it. And I had to stop for a second and say, okay, I'm being judgmental here. They may very well be full of pride, right? They
Right.
may very well be totally wrong about what they were talking about. But my aggressive attitude and opinions of them were judgments. It wasn't me just calmly or even just as information saying, I really think they're coming from a place of pride. That's not how I even delivered it because I was feeling so aggravated by it. And it's
Yeah.
like, why am I so aggravated by that?
Yeah.
We meet prideful people all the time, right? I'm full of pride.
Right. Amen.
And so I had to stop and say, yeah, I'm being judgmental of that person. So I wasn't even, here I was feeling like I was looking at that from a position of moral superiority, when really I was just coming at it from a place of judgment. And
yeah,
I'm just grateful that like that God in His Holy Spirit just convicted me, whatever, you know, how, whatever you want to say that word is. But like, I stopped and was like, oh yeah, I'm being judgmental. I'm being judgmental.
Yeah.
Why am I being judgmental? What is it about that? Them, me thinking they're prideful, and they may very well be, but me feeling like I had to point that out. Like I had to,
right.
I had to really drive that home with my husband.
Put your Messiah britches on, right?
Right.
Be a judge.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I'm not exactly coming at this right either. So,
yeah.
All right. I guess me and this other person were just in the same place, just different issues all
yeah.
the way around.
Well, and I think that's why that book is so appropriately named, How to Stop the Pain. If you're in pain, folks, there is a judgment behind it.
Yeah.
And if you really just sit and take a moment, you're going to, you know, God's going to reveal things. Like, a good question to ask in those moments when you're feeling that anxiety, that tension, that pain, those judgments coming out is, what does this say about me, God? Because when my kid has an emotion, that's just a normal human response. But when I dug and looked at, what does that say about me? That's when I started saying, oh, I feel like it's hitting, I'm responsible. Like, this is all my responsibility. And I was taken back into those moments, the same moments I felt like when there was tension in the air and mom and dad are looking at us, needing someone to say, yep, that was me who made the mistake. I did it. And I felt the tension in the air and I took the blame and I was responsible.
Yeah. Yeah. I know so many people like that. I mean, so many people that have been in dysfunctional families, you'll have someone for whatever reason. And I don't know what really drives it, honestly. I don't know what drove you to take the responsibility, but we have a mutual friend who had the same thing where they took responsibility in a very abusive house for to protect their siblings from retribution, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know really what drives that, but I understand
I do.
That.
I do. And not for everyone, but for me, and this could be for other people, but when you have those pleaser tendencies, you really quickly want the room to be happy again and you want everyone to be happy.
Yeah.
So you take responsibility, right? You want it to quickly go away and make, you know, everyone happy and please everyone. So someone has to take responsibility. So you just do it to please everyone. So that was my case. And, you know, women out there and guys too, but a lot of women out there who have dealt with being a pleaser or recovering from being a pleaser, maybe that's something you have experienced too. But I just didn't want the room to, I couldn't take the tension of the room being upset because I was a pleaser. And
Yeah.
my job was to make everyone happy. So the only way that was going to happen was me taking responsibility. Or at least that's what I felt in that moment.
You know, it's interesting as you were talking about that, I was thinking about stuff with my dad who, when he would get on like a alcoholic fueled binge or whatever, I always felt responsible. Like it was my fault, not in the sense of I'm going to step forward and, you know, be the one to take responsibility. I just felt responsible for his irrational moments. Like somehow, if I was just a better kid, or somehow if I did differently, if I was just quieter, like that's the stuff I did, which is not the same kind of taking responsibility, but I get it as a kid, like not understanding the chaos of mental illness, of alcoholism, of all the things. Kids are so self-centered anyway, right? They make everything about themselves, which is a normal part of growing up, right? That's just where every kid is. And there's nothing wrong with it, but that's just where every kid is. And so when you're in these dysfunctional situations, you internalize it. And somehow the chaos around you must be your fault.
Right.
Because you haven't built a full sense of self. And so therefore you don't have boundaries and you don't understand things happening outside of yourself. Right.
Right.
So
I was even thinking, just knowing your story more, when you're walking into school after things kind of blew up, and for people who haven't read Jen's book, I'm not going to give it away. So read her book, A Beautiful Healing by Jennifer Osborne. Anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Plug. Shameless plug.
But anyway, so when you're walking into school for the first time after the events occurred, I'm sure some sort of inner judgment is being kicked. Like, I am guilty. I am responsible.
Amen.
And I'm sure those things have been triggered throughout the years. Like, oh, I was responsible, or I am guilty. And people aren't even aware in your circle that they're kicking that inner judgment that you made when you walked into that school a zillion years ago. You know, not a zillion years ago, but you know what I mean. So
it feels like a zillion years ago. But in a good way, though, too, because I am far from that person. So,
amen. Yeah. So that's why these things are important, because that's how they kill relationships, right, folks? Like, I've been talking to my kids, like, you know, and I'm sure this is normal sibling behavior, but I've been talking to them as, you know, one of the girls opens their mouth and my son and daughter jump in and have something to say about that and make a judgment. And so it just takes them down a little bit more and each time where they don't feel safe because all these judgments are being thrown at them. So I've been trying to teach them, if you want to be a safe person for your relationships and your friends going forward, you need to just be a safe place and keep those things, you know, obviously it would be nice if you didn't even think those things, but keep those things into yourself for now and allow them to be safe to be and think. Because sometimes
safe to be. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, homeschooling over here is God's healing me.
It reminds me of, so over the weekend, I took a course called Mental Health First Aid, and great course. Just want to plug that. It was just a really, really great thing. And part of that they pointed out is that sometimes when someone's going through a mental crisis, if you're listening, one of the first things they say is to listen, non-judgmentally. You are listening to just listen, right? You're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to say, well, you're wrong or anything like that. It's just being able to listen to someone. And that just reminds me of you teaching your kiddos that, like, be safe, be someone that can hear without, you know, beating someone to death with things coming back at them. Like, can you imagine how unhelpful it is when, like, someone is suicidal and you're just saying, oh, just snap out of it. I mean, I've had people say that to me, just snap out of it. What's wrong with you? Why are you so upset over this thing? It's just so small, like all these judgments, right? Rather than talk to me about what's going on.
Yeah. I feel like God just said, it's like dodging bullets.
Ooh, yeah.
As you just open your mouth and all these things are just coming at you and you really just want to be and be safe and to be heard. And us verbal processors out there, we just need to say it sometimes, right? We need to say it. And we know if we say it, we're going to be hit with these bullets. And then we got other stuff to deal with. So friends, goodness gracious, heal and be safe.
Amen.
That's what Jen and I are still working on and we'll continue to work on because we have not perfected it by any means. Got a long way to go. But it's important, and
for sure,
people can thrive and come into the fullness of who they were designed to be with just one safe person.
Amen. And I want to say to you folks out there, there's 100% hope. You do not have to be stuck in a cycle of pain. You do not have to be stuck in a cycle of grief. You don't have to be stuck in a cycle of self-judgment. There is 100% hope. And it starts with our Savior. And I just want to point that out. Like, your life can be turned around wherever you are. If you're feeling like nothing can change your life, there's no hope, so on and so forth. I've been there. Tiffany's been there. There is hope.
Amen.
So.
Amen. And just, if you do not have saved people, just grow in that dependency with the Lord, because when he say he is close to the brokenhearted, there is no truer statement than I experienced in those times of brokenheartedness.
And seek out counseling too. God can absolutely use a counselor. For me, I counseling, yeah, God used, and it saved my life. Absolutely. God was all in my counseling. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that me seeking help came out of a situation in my life that about destroyed me, but it was the enemy trying to destroy me. And God said, nope, not this one. We're going to get you to a place of wholeness. So
amen.
Yeah, I was one of those hopeless people and thought my life would never change. If I could just learn to be happy in the misery I was in.
Yep.
But God said, no, that's just not what I have for you. So, amen. And that people out there, it's not what God has for you either. So anyway.
Amen. This was so good. We could do like 20,000 parts of this. Well, I'll be reading through how to stop the pain again. So
maybe there'll be a link in the show notes for you to be able to find that book on Amazon, just so you know.
Get the book. Get the
All
book.
Right.
And if
Get the
you're
book.
Listening, Dr. James Richard, I have sold a lot of copies of your book. And I also would like to plug Dr. James Richard. We would love to have you on this show. And I am really praying and being prayerful that you will come up with a study guide to follow up how to stop the pain.
Oh,
just
wouldn't it
putting
be
it
good?
Out there. I would love it. And I would do it with every group that I'm in. So anyway, just in case
awesome.
You're listening.
That's right, Dr. James Richard. Anyway, okay. Until next time, folks.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2024, Parable Road, LLC.